Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Cosmic Connections, and it's the evening of September 30th. As we are doing this program, I want to welcome everybody to be here tonight. I'm going to have some interesting discussions about some things out there that are kind of quite out there about in the circles that we associate with. And my position is going to be very different from what the others have on the Nisargasara. And I'll be able to basically back up and tell you all of my sources of where I come from and why I hold the position that I do. So, but with that, Blanca, how are you doing this fine evening? And welcome back, because you weren't with us last week.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry I missed it. But we, fortunately, now that things are popping over here in Georgia, we got pretty busy. But it's nice to be here this evening and hope everybody's had a good week so far. And thanks for joining us.
Well, I understand that in Georgia, you folks are getting back to being normal because your governor has basically said no more mask required, as the same way that it is here in Florida. Our Florida governor a few days ago said, you know, masks aren't required anymore in the state of Florida. So there's still some of the stores that do it, but you're basically saying it can't be mandatory. You know, still got to play the game in a few places, but other than that, everything is good. So, yeah.
That's true. That's true here, too. Some of the grocery stores are still pretty strict about it. But, for example, we get our groceries through Instacart, so they pack the groceries for you and they bring them out to the car for you. So if you're, you know, don't want to wear a mask, there's ways around that. And but here in Atlanta, the restaurants are open. So if you're in a state that you don't even have restaurants, I don't know if those still exist, you know, come on to Atlanta for Dave's workshop and you get to go out to eat. And
yeah.
It's like people used to go. Remember how people used to go to Cuba to, you know, really let their hair down? I guess they come to Georgia. Get rid of your mask. Now, if
yes,
you're,
so.
Some people are still pretty cautious, so a lot of the restaurants have patio dining, so you can eat outside if you're a little nervous about eating inside.
They're still catering to, you know, what is called the popular opinion versus, you know, the governor opening their states up. But we're back to the fact that all the restaurants can now go to 100% seating capacity. They don't have to be at 50%, but they're not. They're not anywhere close to that. You know, I flew from Chicago back in, you know, to the Miami airport on the, you know, on Sunday from the workshop I did there. And both the airports are just, they're vacant. There's hardly anybody there. They aren't busy. Now, the flight that I was on was full. And it's really interesting because you're talking a full, complete, sold out flight. No seats in the middle left open. I mean, every single seat is filled, but we have to wear a mask. You know, and then, you know, you go to other public places and they're making you sit your 6 feet apart and all this kind of stuff. And now it's just crazy what's going on out there. But the issue was, see, I remember, you know, the man that picked me up, you know, to take me, you know, to where my car was parked. He said, what was different is he said, there's usually 3 flights every night from, you know, Chicago to Miami nonstop, and right now there's only 1. So they've cut back on the number of their flights, even though the flights
right.
are full. So, yeah. But it's not. But, you know, it's great for me. I love traveling at this time because, you know, I mean, it's not busy, it's not crowded, and it's kind of a nice way to go. So,
yes.
So on that note, yes, October 10th. A week from Saturday, we're going to be in Atlanta. And folks, there's plenty of room there. And you've also heard that it's, you know, everything is open there. Everything is back to normal. Now, the hotel may make you wear the mask when you come in. But folks, once you get inside our meeting room, there's no mask required. The last 2 workshops I've done have been, the hotels have not required any of us to wear masks once we're in the meeting room. We just had to respect, you know, what was going on in the state regulations. And you had to wear the mask when you walked in the door of the hotel, but as soon as you got in the meeting, you know, pick it off, take it off, whatever you want to do. I leave it up to you. And folks, remember, I've got all new information, and I've just received so many great comments from, you know, the people that have been attending, that have attended the previous workshops and they're attending here, since they said the new information is absolutely great. I'm talking about, where are we going as a humanity? What is it that's happening to our future? What is it that we can expect to be stepping into? Where is the energy that's coming around all the shifts and changes that are going on? And how does the money fit into all of that? That's basically how I've incorporated into this new message. And folks, I can tell you, if you want to be ready for the changes that are coming your way, the workshop content is going to be extremely helpful for you. And again, always I say, if you can't afford it, I've got the scholarship rates. Folks, just go on the website and ask for the scholarship rates. That's all I say. You can go to my website, you click on the tab about the workshop, you know, information and registration, and then you just scroll down and you get my email, you send me an email asking for scholarship rates. Folks, if you want to be there, I want you to be there. That's the way that I look at this, okay? So, the dates, the 10th of October in Atlanta. And then on the 24th, we're going to be here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We're going to be in my home area. And the reason was, as I said, because both Georgia and Florida have totally opened up their state. Now, on November 7th, I'm tentatively going to be in either Phoenix or Sedona. And it depends, again, on the meeting restrictions. I think they're starting to open up there. But, you know, about a week and a half ago, when I was looking at wanting to lock in dates, I was going to do Phoenix on the 24th of October, but they weren't quite open yet. So I switched over to Fort Lauderdale. And then so we're tentatively the 7th of November in either Phoenix or Sedona, most likely Phoenix. And then on November 21st, I'm going to Oslo, Norway, for all the great Norway folks, okay? So I did get a note. Somebody said that it's hard to hear me. Folks, my volume is up. So it's on your computer, okay? Now, I'll try this a little bit better here. I'll try moving the microphone just a little bit better to see if that might change. But I've got my volume turned up fairly high because it could be see, what the problem is, my recording volume as well, if I get it too high, then that's not going to work out very well. Let me try this just a little bit more, see what I can do. I'll see what I can do there, okay? So, because I've had many of others that say it's loud and clear, so the sound is coming through just fine. So, October 10th is Atlanta. October 24th is Fort Lauderdale, Florida. November 7th is tentatively Phoenix. If not, there's Sedona. And then on November 21st, I'm going to be in Oslo, Norway, with all the great Norway folks. And then on December 7th, I'm going to Las Vegas. Now, an issue had come up. When am I coming to Kansas City? I don't know yet. I was having the same problem in Kansas that I was going to have in other areas. So it will be after the first of the year. That's the schedule for the rest of this year. Kansas City, yes, is early on the list that we'll have after, you know, probably in around mid-January. Because by then, I think things should be in much better shape. So that's it for that schedule. So, Blanca, is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we get on with the program tonight?
No, but I just look forward to seeing people in Atlanta. That's the nice thing, since you have a lot of people who are repeat participants. It's always nice to see familiar faces.
Yes, because you and your husband, Alan, will be there with us. So we would, you know, that's so folks, those of you that would like to meet Blanca, her and her husband, Alan, will be there with us. So it'd be, it's a great opportunity to come. And again, I have lots and I still have lots of room in the meeting room. So we'd love to have you there. So now, the program tonight, the first thing I said, I wanted to talk a little bit about the chaos that's going on around there. Folks, those of us that are kind of awake and aware, we can look and say, it's so chaotic what's going on out there right now. And I've talked about in the past, this is part of what is coming, this coming shifting energy that's going on, that's going to create a lot of this chaos stuff going on. What's extremely important is when you see chaos happening, is to not allow yourself to get involved in it to where your thought energy gets lowered. There's a positive side to what chaos can do for us. And it all depends, and it comes back to how we choose to perceive the issues that are going on around it. When there's no chaos going on, there's a tendency sometimes for us to become somewhat complacent. we basically can just kind of look, you know, watch what's going on. We just let it be. We kind of go with the flow of what's going on. That's the perfect opportunity when we are very complacent for those that we call the cabal or the deep state to really do their work, because there's no deep opposition that comes up in our thought and our consciousness to be able to be contrary to what they're doing. So when chaos starts to take place, we kind of perk up. We wake up, we become aware, and we start involving ourselves in the process. And so when the chaos happens, our job is to look at it from a very positive perspective, so we are continuing to put out high positive energy. In the new material I've been reading some new material again by Wes Penry. Wes Penry is absolutely wonderful to read his material. And I'm going to put a new link on my website to Wes Penry's website to read all of his material. He had worked a lot with A.R. Borden. He had communicated with him back and forth in correspondence and even had basically had talked with him a few times. And he clearly understood the work that Borden was doing about how consciousness, our thought, is what predicates the experiences that we have and the events that go on in our world. We are in the process of creating everything that goes on around us through the frequency of our thoughts. Because it's the energy frequency of our thoughts that either produce high positive events or low negative events in our lives. So that's the positive thing about the potential of chaos is there. So now before I go on to the next topic, Blanca, why don't you share with us what your thoughts on there, if you'd like to share anything around that.
Yes, we've mentioned it before because we've been observing how chaotic events are and the polarization, too, of thoughts. Well, that's because it's a war in consciousness, and we've talked about that as well. So when we see chaos, that means there are shifts going on, just like Dave said. There are energies that are colliding, and so you just want to be on the right energy wave, and, of course, it's the highest frequency. Now, when there's chaos, that also means that things are breaking down. So let us welcome the breaking down of the old matrix and start building the new one.
That's a great thought. I hadn't thought of that. That is true. Chaos is the reflection of the old system breaking down so that the new one can come in. And we have always talked about, especially how much that is necessary to bring in the new financial system. So let me go on now. I'm going to talk about this whole Nisara-Gasara issue. And then after that, I'll talk about the quantum finance, the new quantum financial system. And then from there, I'm just going to make some comments that a gentleman had made about the upcoming election. I'll do that at the end. There's a new guy that's kind of on the block that has become very, very famous, very fast out there on what we call the alternate websites. And his name is Charlie Ward. I mean, Charlie is being interviewed left and right all over the place, and he's got a lot of people that are bringing him on, and he brings on people, and he talks a lot about Nisara-Gasara. Now, first of all, I want you to know I'm not here to attack Charlie Ward. Charlie is a nice guy. He's a good man. I think he has great intentions, but what I'm going to say is his information is not correct. Now, he thinks he is, but he hasn't gone back enough. This whole Nisara-Gasara, let me read about from that website about what they say it's going to do. It's going to give forgiveness, credit card, mortgage, and all other bank debts to an illegal banking and government activity. It's going to abolish the income tax. It's going to abolish the IRS. It's going to increase benefits to senior citizens. It returns to constitutional law. It establishes a new presidential and congressional elections within 120 days after Nisara's announcement. Folks, what they're saying is that this is a law that's already in place. And I'll get in to say that is totally inaccurate. There is no such law in place called the Nisara law. Let me go on. Monitors elections and prevents illegal elections activities or special interest groups. Creates new U.S. Treasury currency, the rainbow currency. Returns constitutional law to all of our courts and legal matters. Initiates new U.S. Treasury bank system in alignment with constitutional law. Eliminates the Federal Reserve System. Restores financial privacy. Restrains all judges and attorneys in constitutional law. Seizes all aggressive U.S. government military actions worldwide. establishes peace throughout the world, initiates first phase of worldwide prosperity distribution of vast wealth which has been accumulating for many decades, releases a numerous sums of money for humanitarian purposes, enables the release of new technology such as alternate energy devices. Folks, it comes right out and says on the website, this is what the law does. Folks, you need to remember, I was a state senator. I was a lawmaker for 12 years. I understand the due process of making law. First of all, there are things in there that said that is never going to happen because there is no way that a United States law can enforce international issues around the world. All the countries of the world are sovereign from each other. There is no way that a United States law can force Germany to do something that they don't want to do, that they have not passed into law themselves. This NASARA is also slash called GASARA. NASARA stands for the National Economic Security and Reformation Act, an act that was passed into law. And then they said GASARA came place, which was the Global Economic Security and Reformation Act. And what they're saying is that all these countries have approved this thing. Folks, it's crazy. It's back to the whole comment, show me the money, show me the law. It does not exist. Folks, I went back and did my homework because here's what happened. It's not even when a law is passed. Every single vote of Congress is kept historically in the Library of Congress. The Library of Congress has the record of every single bill that is introduced and every single vote that is taken in the United States Congress for the whole complete 240 plus years of the history of our country. Anybody can go back and do their research. And especially now that a lot of it is on the internet, all you would have to do is go into the Library of Congress and then type in NASARA and see what comes up. And you will find it's nothing. There was never a NASARA bill that talked about those issues that was introduced. Now, I do want to go back and say there is some confusion about the NASARA issue that was introduced in Congress for the farmers. Now, that was an entirely, totally separate issue than this what is called the Economic Security and Reformation Act. They were entirely separate issues. Now, also to understand and see how the law, this issue never became law, all you have to do is do the real simple issue of either go into your Google or your Bing search window and put in NASARA and then go to the Wikipedia article. Now, I know some people question Wikipedia. Folks, here's what's nice about the Wikipedia article. I printed it out. It's only about 3 pages long, but guess what? The footnotes are almost as long as the article. There's 2.5 full pages of footnotes. So, folks, you can do all of your own research on this. You don't have to take my word for it. Go do your own research. The NASARA issue had never, ever become law. Now, I'm going to read the first couple of paragraphs so I can give you the background understanding on the NASARA issue. It's called the National Economic Security and Recovery Act was a set of proposed economic reforms for the United States suggested during the 1990s by Harvey Francis Barnard. Barnard claimed that the proposals, which included replacing the income tax with a national sales tax, abolishing compound interest on secured loans, and returning to a bimetallic currency would result in zero inflation and more stable economy. The proposals were never introduced before Congress. This was the example of an individual who comes in with a very, very good idea, tries to get it introduced into Congress, because it said that he printed up over 1,000 copies titled Draining the Swamp, Monetary and Fiscal Policy Reform in 1996, and sent copies to the members of Congress, believing it would pass quickly on its merits. Well, the bill, yes, had a lot of merit for us as individuals, but guess what it did? It was an absolute challenge and a blast in the face to the current banking industry. Basically, it said that banks could make loans with 0% interest. Hello? What had happened was, before this even got introduced as a bill, the lobbyists for the banking industry heard about this, did their research, and they started aggressively lobbying Congress, saying, don't you even dare let that thing come up. Don't even let it get anywhere. That's the power of the lobbying industry within Congress. Now, I've experienced that when I was a state senator. I can remember that there were individuals that would bring me bills to be introduced that had great ideas. But one of the things I had learned very quickly, I said, okay, give me one brief paragraph about your bill. Number two, who's the prime sponsor? Number three, what other people are sponsoring? And number four, who is opposed to it? Because the first thing I wanted to know is, who is opposed to this? And if it was a powerful industry, I knew right there the odds were 70 to 80% this bill wasn't going to go anywhere. Okay? They are going to use their influence to get out there as fast as they can to shut the thing down, and so it doesn't even go anywhere. If you've got an idea that is a challenge to the existing financial industry, folks, it's not going to go anywhere. And that's what happened with this initial Nassara bill concept that Harvey Bernard introduced. Well, what happened was, it then got picked up by this lady by the name of Shawnee Goodwin, and she went by this website named the Dove of Oneness. It says, Nassara has, and I'm reading the second paragraph, Nassara has since become better known as the subject promoted by Shawnee Goodwin, doing business as Dove of Oneness, who claimed that the act was actually passed with additional provisions as the National Economic Security and Reformation Act. She changed that word. And then suppressed by the Bush administration and the Supreme Court, Goodwin's conspiracy emails have been translated into several languages and have a large following online. It was Goodwin who took this idea and the name and printed out these 20 things that I read to you and said it was law. And she just started running with it, and it caught on. It caught on to the point that it was becoming so popular, to see she introduced it in the mid-1990s, that if you go into the footnotes, see, Shawnee Goodwin lived in the Tacoma, Washington area at the same time that I was in the Washington State Legislature. And so what happened was, it had picked up so much momentum and so much popularity that the Tacoma News Tribune, the local newspaper, basically did a three-part article. They went out and they visited her, they interviewed her, and Sean Robinson is the name of the reporter from the Tacoma newspaper that did this three-part article, basically totally exposing the fraud of everything that she was talking about, and she just made this stuff up. I knew Sean Robinson because Sean would come down to Olympia, our state capital, and periodically cover the legislature. There were a couple times that he would come to me and ask my comments or quotes on some articles that he were writing, because so my name appeared in some of the political reports that he was writing. Sean was a good reporter. He was an honest reporter. And I've read these articles, and I knew about this, and I thought, this stuff was right on what Sean had said. This Dove of Oneness, Shawnee Goodwin, made up the Nassara story. It has no basis for it. Now, I'm going to come back and say a couple of things that she had said. She had said that the Supreme Court forced Congress to pass this law. False, folks. Nowhere does the Supreme Court have the authority to force Congress to pass a law. They don't have that power. It's totally against the Constitution. If you go back and listen to my report from last week, I talk about the three separate branches of government that are totally independent from each other, and none of them can force the other branch to do something beyond what they want to do. They have no authority to do that. So she said the Supreme Court forced Congress to pass this law, this Nassar law that had these 20 points that are crazy, that are never going to happen. Then once Congress passed the law, she said that the military picked up the bill and by gunpoint went into the president's office and forced President Clinton to sign it at gunpoint, and then that they forced the president and the Supreme Court forced the president and Congress to remain quiet and silent, and that if any of them talked about it, they would either the president would be impeached or the members of Congress would be removed from Congress. This lady's crazy. Here's the reality. If members of the military approach the White House is so solid and so secure by the Secret Service that covers and secures the White House, nobody gets inside the White House without passing the Secret Service security clearance. Their names have to be cleared, and you have to go by and they have to inspect you. So you're saying that these soldiers come into the Secret Service post with guns. All the Secret Service has to do is go press a button and the whole White House immediately gets locked down. Even if they walked 5 feet past them, they couldn't even get inside the White House with these guns. Secondly, even if they did get in there, the president has a button in his office that he can press, and the whole White House is immediately locked down and nobody can leave. The alarms would go off. Folks, this was absolutely crazy what she had to say. Secondly, who in their right mind in the military is going to go in there with rifles and force their commander-in-chief to sign this bill, knowing that they could be tried for treason and executed for such an act? Nobody's going to do that. So you see the craziness behind the stuff and the stories that she had made up and all this stuff. Now, why am I saying this? Because a few months ago, Charlie Ward interviewed a guy with Nassara, and he is running with Shante Goodwin's story that all this stuff is going to happen. It's all going to take place. And that YouTube video already has over 400,000 views on it. Charlie's a nice guy, but he just didn't do his homework. Anybody can do what I said, go to the Wikipedia article, read it for yourself, and go through the footnote references and read all the references that are there. And you can see how it was just a made-up story. Let me just throw you some. When you're going to forgive the credit and mortgage and other debt to the illegal banking and permanent activities? All the financial things that she says there would cost trillions of dollars. Where is the trillions of dollars coming from to do all this? This is also basically going to put the banking industry almost totally out of business of what it's going to do. No law can force a new presidential and congressional election within 120 days. Believe me, if any member of Congress knew that that was in statute, in law, and believe me, there's almost probably every member of Congress has been showed this at some time or another, and they've had their staff research it, if they knew it was there, they would immediately introduce a bill to totally wipe that out off the statute, off the books of law. Any member of Congress at any time can introduce a bill, and that bill stays alive for the whole two-year congressional cycle until the new next election comes up. And so if you've noticed, there's never, ever, and remember, she said that this was passed in the law in the mid-90s. There's never been a single bill introduced to undo this stuff because the law doesn't exist. So folks, there is no such thing as a Nassara law. And there is no such thing as a Gasara law, which somebody had picked up and run with it. Now, why am I saying this? It's amazing how many people are so quick to jump on the bandwagon when somebody nice and credible comes across and says something that sounds so good, so illustrious, and it's going to help them out financially. It's going to remove all their financial problems and concerns. They're going to get a ton of money, and they want to jump on board, and they want to believe it, but they don't do the research to find out how true it is. Folks, do your own work when it comes to anything like this, talking about the money issue. Whether it's Nasara, whether it's the 800 numbers of the currency, you know, what is called, you know, the global currency reset. Folks, I did my work around the currency exchange. And you notice I always use the term currency exchange, not the global currency reset, because I don't want to get them mixed up. Now, let me tell you about the research that I did. I have 4 times been to Hong Kong and met with 2 completely different representatives of the Dragon families that they don't even know each other. Both times I met with these 2 independent people, I was on the street in Kowloon, which is the north part of Hong Kong, and they both pointed up to this skyscraper tower and says at the very top of that tower is where the elders, the Dragon family elders, have their meeting. And both of them have said, we've been before the elders. That's a good confirmation. So I've been there, I've met with the people, and I have met and talked with some of the Dragon family members. And they have verified, yes, we have this money, but it's to be released at the right appropriate time. The second source of the money is what is predominantly called the grandfather in the Philippines. Now, I have met and worked with people who have met and worked with the grandfather. I have not met him personally. The other source in the Philippines, I need to be very careful about what I say. All I can say is she goes by the name of the princess. I can't say anything more than that on a security issue. But let's just say I have been on Skype conversation live 3 times with the lady who is the princess, and they have showed me the massive amount of gold and jewels and other valuables that they have in their, basically in their bunkers. And this is the carryover from thousands of years ago. Then when we come into the United States, I tell you about, you know, what is called the Texas Processing Office, where our dong currency is being processed. I've done my homework then. I know the lady that is personal friends with the man who runs that. She has told me the whole story about how all this got started over 25 years ago. And it's been a contract agreement between various countries. And they started with close to $1 billion that had come from the Dragon families about 25 years ago. And they've had that money on the off-market trading platforms for 25 years. The man who I ran the currency through says he has seen the private off-market online bank account that has more zeros in it than you can even begin to count. And she told me the story about why the man in Texas was selected to be the one to process and do all of this. So you see, folks, I've done my homework. Now, can I absolutely guarantee 100% that's going to happen? No, I can't. Because what if something shifts and changes that's totally out of our control? All I know is everything that I have seen personally, Hong Kong, Philippines, the United States, and there is a fourth one that is basically based out of a very large private foundation out of Europe. Those are the sources of the funds that I am aware of, that are not going to only be a part of the currency exchange, but also going to be a part of the humanitarian aid funding. That's going to create this shift and change that I've been talking about in workshops and talking about here on the radio program. Folks, do your homework. Now, don't go asking me about more information about the Dragon families I talked to, the Philippines, you know, princess, and the textbook. Folks, those are all private sources that I cannot disclose any more than what I talked about. But I'm here representing you. But when it comes to Nasara Gasara, folks, the stuff doesn't exist. They've never, ever, ever been able to tell you where the money has come from. Now, Let me give another illustration about how some of this stuff, these people just talk and talk and talk and never take responsibility for how wrong they are. I printed up today just the Dinar recap page from today. Here's what it says right at the beginning. The important day of Thursday, October 1st, which is tomorrow, would see the start of the global financial system and new U.S. restored republic's fiscal year with a fully functionally quantum financial computer online. Plus, it was the first day of Q's promised 10 days of disclosure. Folks, that stuff isn't happening tomorrow. Then it says there was a possibility of the 800 number notification tomorrow, which was Wednesday, September 29th, which was either today or yesterday, because yesterday was the 29th, but today is Wednesday. But more of a possibility of Thursday, October 1st. He said overnight tonight, that was Tuesday night, the dinar was expected to change in value. It didn't happen. And then it says before 1 p.m. on Monday, the global currency reset shotgun start was released for RV liquidity. That was last Monday. It didn't happen. Debt forgiveness programs have begun around the globe. Folks, it hasn't happened. Let me tell you what they talk about, the amount of money that they're talking about. This is the type of money that shifts the whole complete global economy. Folks, why is it the only place that is talking about it is here on these websites of either Charlie Ward's talking about it or Dinar Recap? Nobody else is talking about it. Folks, the financial news reports would be on top of this. You can't keep this stuff quiet. It would leak out. There would be people on Wall Street that would be making trades that would be based on this because they want to jump up ahead of the opportunity to make a bunch of money off of it when this shift takes place and changes. These things are also talking about basically the banks going down. They would be selling their bank stocks left and right to get out of the bank stocks so they wouldn't lose money. They would still sell the bank stocks while they're high before this happened. You see, here's what's interesting. Now, let me go on. So, Dinar Recap. Folks, they've been wrong day after day for years. The Nasara stuff, all the people that talk about it are flat out wrong. Now, let me talk about the new quantum financial system. And again, Charlie Ward is talking this thing up left and right. Here's what it says it does. No fiat currency is legal in the quantum financial system. Banks are no longer in control, which means your current physical money goes away, folks. The QFS puts an end to corruption, usury, and manipulation within the banking system and the central banking system. QFS is completely independent from existing centralized banking systems, makes all other transfer systems obsolete. QFS activation ends the central banking system that perpetuates what some refer as the debt slavery. Each QFS account throughout the world will be slowly owned by the account holder, not owned by the banks or the government. Folks, what he is saying here is that there's a whole new currency that's going to come in. It's going to replace all the currency in every country all around the world, and the existing banking system is going to go away. Huh. Who has the authority to do that? Who has the power to bring that into existence? All of a sudden, you're going to have scores of millions of people who worked in banks are going to be out of jobs, and all these bank buildings are just going to be sitting empty. It just doesn't make sense, folks. Now, that last statement I know might have been a little bit exaggerated, but you get the point. Who has the authority to do this? Where are the written agreements of all these countries? Because I watched one of the videos that Charlie said, and they started talking about all these banks around the world that were in agreement on this. Show me the money. Show me the statements where they signed this and they've all agreed on this. And why is it, Charlie, you and your cohorts are the only ones who are talking about this? If those banks had signed those agreements, you can't have close to 200 banks around the world keep this secret. It leaks out. The banking personnel at the top are selling all of their bank stock, which is public information, because they know it's going away. It just doesn't make sense in an everyday real world. And again, it was Charlie, you're a nice guy. You just don't know what you're talking about. You're not dealing with reality and what you're talking about in all this stuff. Now, here's the real issue. Why is it that you get good people? They're honest people. They want to do the right thing, whether it's Charlie or it's the others talking about the 800 number and all these other people that are posting on the Dinar recaps. Why do they continue to talk all about this stuff? And they're always wrong, but they never, never, rarely do they ever admit it. Folks, I've been following Dinar recaps for 5 years. It's extremely rare to find any of these people, whether it's Frank, Z, or Bruce, or whoever, they never admit when they're wrong. And then Judy, who compiles all this stuff, she never admits when she's wrong. And they've been wrong for years. What does that tell you? What is in the mindset of someone who makes such demonstrative statements that affects trillions of dollars, that impacts millions and scores of millions of people, and they don't take responsibility for when they're wrong with that statement? There's something going on there. There's something that's not quite right in how they're thinking. Now, we'll see if Charlie will step up to the plate and admit that he was wrong on the Saragasara. He was wrong on the quantum financial system. And then he made another statement about a month ago, and he says, I've got some serious about the election process coming up. He says, I've got some serious intel for you. The voting system is being completely changed as we speak. The new quantum financial system operates on the blockchain system for voting. It's a brand new voting system, and you will have to identify yourself on your cell phone or your computer. He says, so they shot themselves in the foot because Trump has already covered this. So it'll be digital voting that we're totally 100% control. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Folks, when I was in the legislature, elections laws was one of my specialties. I understood election laws very well. First, number one, the federal government has absolutely nothing to do with the administration of elections. All election laws and administration are the property of the state. The state legislatures are the ones who set the laws and the process for the election in their state. So the state sets the rules, but the logistical administration of carrying out the elections is done by the county. The counties are the ones that run the election. Federal government has nothing to do with election administration. And in some states, they will allow each individual county to decide which type of a voting system they want to operate. Because these some counties have 20 million people in them, and there's other counties that don't even have 1,000 people in them. I remembered when I was in Washington State and I was overseeing the county elections, we had this one county that the total population of the county was only 3,260, roughly in that area. They only had 800 registered voters in the whole county. They run their complete voting system manually. It's not a computerized system because, you know, there were only two or three voting places in the whole county. And when you came in to vote, the county auditor already knew who you were because you were their neighbor or something of that nature. Because they would know most of who the voters were because the rolls were so small. You see, folks, elections are run by the rules by the state. They're administered by the counties. And there is no new quantum voting system. I don't know where he gets this stuff, but it's another example of the untruth and the lie. He was incorrect on the Saragasara. Charlie Ward, he was incorrect on the quantum voting system. And he was totally incorrect on what he says with this new election system. Folks, every state chooses how they're going to run it. that run their elections. And people who choose to vote absentee, vote by mail, they've probably already had their ballots sent out. They're already done voting right now. So it's just amazing. So I'm going to go back to, why is it that good people can be so inaccurate in their statements that affect scores of millions of people and billions, if not trillions, of dollars? I'm going to give you what is my opinion, how I think they turn to their sources and they trust their sources. But quite often, because when there's someone who knows they can have a huge impact, like Charlie Ward's going to be listened to by 400,000 people, the sources that they go to give them deliberate misinformation so that the people will stay focused on what Charlie and the others are saying about Nassara. They continue to believe in the Nassara, so they will never find out the truth and go to the real truth source of where the money's coming from. That's the only thing I can think of. Because, folks, I've been trying to think this thing through for months, if not a year or more. Why is it that they give such bad information when they're good people? And please understand, I'm not here to viciously attack him, but I'm bringing this up because those of you that listen to my program, I've been getting lots of emails or comments, you know, on my Facebook page about what's going on with Nassara. Why? When is that going to happen? And folks, you're all believing it because it seems credible in what they're saying. That stuff is not going to happen. Folks, the stuff that's going to happen, please put on your thinking caps and use common sense. And do your own work and your own research. Do your own investigation before you start pulling scores and thousands of other people into believing something that isn't true. All right. Okay, that's what I had to say about that. Blanca, why don't you come on in and then share your thoughts with all I just had to say? Because I said a lot.
You did. Real talk with Dave. That's what the name of the program is today. Well, you provided a lot of factual information and firsthand experience, so people can chew on that. And I think the key message, too, is for people to do their own research. Right now, there's a war on, as some people say, war on, information war here. And we're going to be getting a lot of information because things are being uncovered, but we're going to get a lot of disinformation as well. And it's really up to us to tell. It's one thing that when Alan and I will listen to a program, we'll always grade it. We'll say, oh, that was about 10% disinfo or 30% disinfo. We're always looking for the disinfo, and that keeps us on our toes to never totally believe something. That's the other thing that you're kind of pointing out, for people to know the difference between what they're believing and what they know. Right now, you shared a lot of what you know when you gave us the history of this Nassara Jassara and the people that you know who were involved with it, and you referred them to the Wiki article on this. Now, some people say that Wiki is compromised, but you referred them to all the footnotes so people can do more research. I think right now, if you're going to really, really, really embrace something someone is telling you wholeheartedly, that's when you really should do your research, in my opinion. And there's a lot with the internet, there's all kinds of ways to do research. Now, for those people who are just learning about Charlie Ward or haven't heard about him, now they're going to get all curious. I would suggest you go to Carrie Cassidy's website. Project Camelot is the name of her program, and she did an interview with Charlie Ward, I think maybe 3 weeks ago, and Carrie's very good. She's very intuitive as well, and you can get a picture of the type of person Charlie Ward was, what he used to do, what he was involved with, and then you can decide what you think about him as a conduit for information. So I'd suggest you try that if you're going to do some research on him.
Well, let me just mention, there's good things that Charlie has to say, and there are some good things that he has done. He's an honest man. He wants to do the right thing. But I just think in these areas, he's jumped on the bandwagon with everybody else, and he didn't do his research. And he jumped on a bandwagon of a story that sounds so good, that's supposed to be so good for so many people, but it just isn't going to happen. So.
Well, this is for people to also learn. I think part of this whole exercise is that if indeed we are going to become freer, and if our awareness is going to be increased, and we're going to come to higher consciousness, we need to take care of it. It's precious. It's a precious commodity. And so to just let any ideas come in without them being tested, or without us really knowing, do we believe something is true, or do we know something is true, or do we know the background of the people who are the conduits of information, I think it behooves us to be a little smarter than that. So I would suggest and people who know who he is have probably heard interviews, but if you haven't heard Carrie Cassidy's, I would suggest you do that, because you will get a good profile of this person's background.
Well, it's important also, Charlie isn't the only one running with Nisara Gasara. I mean, there have been lots of people that have been talking about it and talking about it as though it's real, and they're basically totally repeating the false, fake story of Shawnee Goodwin, and they haven't done their research on it and how it all got started. Let me make a comment also on a side note that I just remembered. And folks, this comes from my 25 years of being in the Army National Guard, where I also spent 4 years on active duty. There is a classic tactic that's called psychological warfare. When in a war situation, if you want to run out ideas to do what is called psychological warfare, you take an item that is very popular or it's extremely important to people, and then what you do, you run out a story that's about 30% of it is accurate, so you capture their attention, you get them involved in it, but about 70% of it is false. And the reason that they do this is because they then capture the attention of the people, they're all focused on that, they're talking about that, they're sharing it with others, and then the military forces get to go do the real work that they want to do without it being interrupted by outside sources, because they're all caught up into the psychological warfare story. So they put out enough. They put out about 30 to 40% of it being true so people can run with that. It's good. It's right. But most of it is false. And so this Nisara Gasara is the classic example to me of what would be a psychological military warfare tactic to attract people's attention, keep them involved in it, so that they don't look to see what's really going on and where the real truth is. Okay, so back to you, Blanca.
No, that's very true. Right now there's all kinds of psyops going on, and when you see that the opinion is polarized, for example, the opinion is polarized around this Nisara Gasara thing, people either really say that's not so, this is why, or some people are just believing it with all their heart and soul. This COVID-19 thing, some people are saying that's a psyop, and others are saying, no, I knew someone who died. So wherever you get a big polarity going, there's probably some sort of psyop working there. And the proof that people are so polarized in it is that it's a psyop. Because for people to see things so differently is already telling you there's something at work.
Yeah. Well, even, you know, last night's presidential debate was a classic example because, you know, both Trump and Biden said things that were not accurate. They both did, okay? And then watch all the attacks on Facebook. Just scroll through your Facebook page and look at all the different people making all their comments about the debate last night. And you can tell how they're jumping into one side or the other. And some of them, they just flat out don't do their research, and they're just flat out wrong. There's so many of the comments are from the people. So, I mean, that was a classic example of another one, you know, where there's great division and polarity on what's going on an issue. So, yeah. But
yes.
That's a side.
Mm-hmm. All right. Whoever survived that show, you know, congratulations.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you want to share before we go to the callers?
Well, now you were going to talk a little bit about the quantum financial system. Did you say everything you wanted to say on that? Because I've got some thoughts on that too.
Okay. Yes, I do. Remember, Charlie goes through and he lists all these different points of the quantum financial system. The vast majority of it, folks, is not going to happen. There is one thing that has happened, and this one is accurate, and that's the transfer from the SWIFT system to the CHIP system of how you move money across borders. That new system is in place and it is operating. Now, it's like, let's say you wanted to move money from a bank in the United States to someone in their bank account in Germany. To make an international transfer, it would take 3 to 5 days before the people in Germany would have their money available in their bank account to spend. That was the old SWIFT system. The new CHIP system, yes, is using blockchain technology, and it moves the money at the same rate that you move it from one bank account to another bank account here in the United States. So that means you could send money to a bank, an individual's bank account, and a bank in Germany, and within 5 to 10 seconds, they'll have access to the money. That system is up and running. That one is accurate, and that one is good. Okay? Okay, so that's what I wanted to share about part of that new quantum financial system that is accurate. Now, folks, it doesn't mean that these things can't come phased in over a period of time. But Charlie's saying they're ready to all go right now, right away. Folks, we're not shutting down the existing banking system. That ain't going to happen. So, okay? Okay, so Blanca, back to you.
Well, yes, and that's similar to the Nasara Jasara. Some of the things it talks about we may see being implemented slowly, but the fact that it's called a law and that everybody, you know, the whole surrounding story. There's a saying, we used to have a friend who said, the story may not be true, but there's truth in the story. So something like that. But one thing that it caught my eye, I hadn't really heard of Charlie, but it was starting to bubble up. And then all of a sudden, and I think it might have been Carrie, actually, Cassidy, who said, hey, here's a slide presentation that Charlie is sharing about the quantum financial system. And so I looked at the presentation, and it was very interesting because the first page or second page had the presidential seal on it, and it was talking about the National Quantum Coordination Office, Office of Science. I mean, it was really meant to look official. And that already piqued my interest. Similar to you, Dave, I said, if this is so official, why is it only on this? Why can I only see it here? That seemed very unusual. So they said it was a White House National Quantum Coordination Office. I said, okay, let's just go to the White House website. Immediately went to the website. I was looking up to see if I could find this particular presentation, and I could not. Now, what I did find Strategic Vision for America's Quantum Networks.
Yes.
It didn't say quantum financial system. It said quantum networks, and there's all about the investment in technology, et cetera, et cetera. You can look up, so you can look that up. You can look up the Office of Science and Technology. You can look up Quantum Economic Development Consortium. I went to various websites and never found this presentation. So that already got me to think, you know, you start kind of questioning. If it was so official, it should have been on the official website.
Well,
the other thing I would refer – go ahead.
It's the type of thing that if it's official, it will become public information. And if it's going to have a huge financial impact, Wall Street people will already be running with it and preparing for it and talking about it. You would hear about
that
it.
That was –
you would hear about it on the financial programs like CNBC, Bloomberg Business, you know, Fox Business and stuff like that. You would hear about it there. And they don't talk about it. It doesn't exist there.
Right. So now some people say, well, it's only available in alternative media. Well, if it's alternative media, it had the presidential seal on there. And it was called a White House presentation. So there's something going on there, right? So I went to various websites, official websites, and could not find that presentation. Then I'd also refer people, definitely go to Project Kavanaugh, look at Charlie Ward's interview with Kerry Cassidy. You can decide, given his background and everything, what you think he is. And then I would also refer you to White Hat's media group, YouTube, and it's called Correcting the Record. And this is a gentleman who's very, very insightful about the financial world and, you know, the black financial world. And he's giving his opinion about this presentation. So people who are really, really into this or really excited about it, I would suggest you check those. Or people who've not heard about it, you may hear about it. And what's good about this exercise, if you do it, it's just going to hone your skills. And immediately, if someone's coming up with something that almost sounds too good to be true, you're going to hone your skills to immediately tell, and something will go like, ding, I better check this out.
Yeah, good. Okay, anything else you'd like to share?
That's it, and be interesting to see if anyone has questions or comments.
Yes. Now, folks, if you would like to call in and you would like to make a comment or you got questions, the phone number is 515-605-9356. Again, that's 515-605-9356. And that is what I said that triggered my phone, voice activation. Okay. That's also on the newsletter I sent out and also on my website. That phone number is there, okay? So, but there is one gentleman that has already kind of raised his hand, and he's area code 650. So why don't we just go ahead and go right to him? Area code 650. Okay, 650, you're on the air here with Dave. What can we help you with?
Hey, Dave. How are you? It's Kurt.
Good.
Hey, I love your program today. It's amazing how when propaganda, you know, these things get started, people just keep looking to confirm their bias. Obviously, the confirmation bias problem. And we all have to be careful with that in these situations. But you're right, who does that make sense to is people need to ask. What I wanted to ask you, Bill, about was something that you had a program many years ago, probably about 4 years ago, with someone who was working on a new financial system. I believe his name was Mr. D. I'm just curious if you have kept in touch or if there was any other information about how that might become part of what we will eventually see in a transformed system.
I haven't heard anything about that since then, and that's why I don't talk about it anymore. It's a learning process for all of us because, you know, I brought someone on that said they were talking about this new financial system. I think we're going to see some new stuff coming in. I really do. But I haven't, in current time, been able to find anything that's real tangible that can really explain the logistics of how it's going to get carried out. I have heard some information from a lady that's very credible and that I trust, but I can't verify it tangibly. She said the new money system is going to come in, but the current banks are not going to go away because we still need to have banks to do our everyday financial transactions. We need to have bank accounts for our debit and credit cards from when we go shop, go grocery, buy gas, or whatever it may be. So that system isn't going to just pick up and go away because we still have to have a means to carry out our everyday issues of how we use money. And that's why Charlie's quantum financial system doesn't make any sense when he says it's just going to come in. Yeah, so that means every single store in the world is going to be ready to take this on? No, it's not. Not at all. So, yeah. So I can't,
so,
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. One other question. So about a month ago, you talked about the release process. And you said there were four people that needed to basically agree, you know, to make that happen. And you said at the time, the world's apart right now on this. What's your current view? Has anything changed in that way?
No. I don't have any new information on that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Glad to see you going back to seminars. Hope you'll be in Oakland or San Francisco sometime soon.
Well, I will. Probably sometime in the spring next year. So, yeah. Because okay, alrighty, thanks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, is there anybody else that would like to call in or make some comments? We have open phone lines right now because that was the only individual that we had. Blanc, would you like to share anything with us?
No, it does not look like there's anyone else online. And I just want to say it's exciting times that so much information is coming out, because we're learning a lot about things that used to be kept hidden, but that we should just be alert because that's also a time when disinfo will be inserted just to keep people more confused or keep people divided or keep them in fear, whatever, in order to take control. With the onslaught of more information, the people who are digesting it, let's put it that way, it does increase their freedom and their ability to act for their own betterment. but the disinfo is the thing that can actually bring harm to people. And so that's basically our message, is to be intelligent about you know, what we're accepting.
And folks, back to, if you hear anybody else about the global currency reset and currency exchange and stuff, that, do your homework. Do your homework. Ask them, who's got the money? Who's paying for what you've got? Ask them to verify the funding sources before you get involved in any of that stuff, because I think there's going to be thousands of people that are going to end up being really disappointed because they didn't do the homework and they turned either their dinar, dong, or zim over, and there was never a legitimate buyer behind what they were going to do. So always make sure you have a legitimate buyer. And so, because I mean, I've made a mistake a few times. I pulled out of it as soon as I found out. So, yeah. Okay, then, Blanca, anything else you'd like to share, or are we ready to call it a night?
I think that's it. You had a good day today, Dave.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, folks. This is the September 30th program, and then we will see you then next week.